Hello, everybody. Good afternoon, I guess, or good morning, depending on where you happen to be sitting right now. Thanks for joining us. Those of you who don't know me, my name is Mike Gibb. I run AccountsRecovery.net, and I'm really excited to be moderating today's webinar on managing HR during coronavirus. Your questions answered. While the response to coronavirus has strained businesses of all shapes and sizes, perhaps where it has been felt most is with employees. Setting up employees to work remotely, having to lay off staff, unfortunately, or dealing with concerns about social distancing inside an office are all issues facing companies in the credit and collection industry. Today, during this webinar, we have a panel of executives from across the industry who are here to share how they are managing their staff or providing advice to help everybody get through this crisis. I want to take a quick minute and say a few words about AccountsRecovery.net. AccountsRecovery.net is a news and information platform for the ARM industry. The site publishes unique and curated content, maintains a number of email newsletters, hosts webinars like this one, offers a number of exciting podcasts, and manages a Slack channel for the ARM industry. The site is free for anyone in the industry to use, and it's a great resource of news and insights to help educate and inform. I hope you'll all spend a few minutes every day checking out what it has to offer. Now let me tell you a little bit about today's speakers. Courtney Fleming joined Wilbur Group in October 2010 and is currently the Chief Personnel Officer. She earned her undergraduate degree in risk management and financial services from Illinois Wesleyan University. Courtney assists the Wilbur team with recruiting efforts and developing training paths, as well as working to ensure proper compliance is met throughout the departments with role and process-specific audits. Courtney is a certified instructor for ACA International and leads teleseminars as well as face-to-face sessions pertaining to the collection industry. Through the association, she also holds the following designations: Professional Collection Specialist, Instructor Professional, and Credit Collection Compliance Officer, Professional, and Officer. Irene Hoheisel has been in the collection industry for more than 22 years. She began as a collector and quickly became the head of the collection department, as well as training, leadership, and compliance for ARSI. Irene has served on multiple ACA committees and has been quoted and published in multiple articles in Collector and Pulse magazines. She is an ACA certified instructor and a source for many due to her extensive knowledge in medical collections and the laws that govern. Irene has earned an alphabet soup of designations, certification awards, and recognitions for her knowledge in the collection industry. She also serves as president of the Kansas Collectors Association, and Irene regularly presents educational seminars for ARSA clients, as well as ACA, Chambers of Commerce, and many other associations, including AccountsRecovery.net. Kelly Krieger was the Vice President of Organizational Development and Training for CBE Companies. She has 22 years of experience in training and development and oversaw all matters related to employee development and engagement. She's been with CBE on and off since 1996, where she specialized in sales, persuasion, customer service, recovery, and management training. Her training focused on the development of human talent, utilizing the latest innovations in human performance technology. Kelly will be joining ACA International later this month as the association's Director of Education. The format for today's webinar will be a panel discussion. We encourage everybody to submit questions and we will get to them as the discussion is ongoing. You can submit a question in one of two ways. You can hit the Q&A button on your Zoom webinar control panel and type your question in and electronically submit it. Or you can open up a chat box and send your question in through the chat if you prefer that instead. Finally, I want to ask everybody to reserve a minute and fill out the survey that should pop up on your screen after today's webinar is over. You'll also receive a link via email tomorrow to access the survey. Your participation helps me develop content that's what you're looking for and make sure you're hearing from the speakers you want to be hearing from. It also gives you a chance to share your pain points, your concerns, your questions, anything you want to see addressed in an upcoming webinar. A lot of these webinars come from that feedback. So if you have anything you want to know more about, then please let me know and I'm happy to try and put that webinar together and get you that information you're looking for. With that, let's launch into our discussion today. First, let's sort of get a sense, maybe a lay of the land, and we'll go around the panel and ask each of them how many of your employees are working from home and how did the process of getting them set up to work from home go? We'll go alphabetically. Courtney, you go, you're first alphabetically. Why don't you give your insights first.
Yes, I will kick us off to today. So, within our office, we have a little over 200 employees, and we have the majority of them home. We have our essentials in the office. We are located a couple hours south of Chicago. So, we got over 200 people home, and that process, I can really say it speaks volumes, the work that you've been doing in your office on culture. On your how you communicate with your team members. We've been working really hard over these last 4 years on our culture, how we lead our team members, and building that circle of trust. And that has paid us dividends now. So how the process started was we actually started as a leadership group of having a group conversation. And this is key. We all have to be on the same page. If you're going to cascade communication down, especially in a critical time, it needs to be the same message. It can't be the telephone game where I say one thing and the next person interprets it differently. It needs to be that same message going down. So we worked really hard to make sure everyone was on the same page. We worked hard to over communicate with people and let them know as far as what the next steps were. And if we didn't know the answer, then we made sure to let them know that right then we did not have the answer. Some of the things that, as far as within the process, we needed more equipment. We needed to work with people on having their remote workspace, need to talk with people about their internet speeds. And then we also needed to kind of talk with them about what they were dealing with as far as their feelings. You know, they were nervous. They were anxious. They were nervous about their job, about what's going on the outside. And so we fielded a lot of questions. And so as far as going through the process, it was a group effort. And you can maybe hear it in the tone of my voice currently. But right now, we are at a really good spot. And I think we're at a good spot because we've been communicating with each other, communicating with others in the in industry about what they're doing. And so I think on our end, we really pulled off a really great opportunity to work remote.
I love what you were saying there, Courtney, about being the group effort and making sure you're communicating with staff. I mean, I really can't stress that enough either. I mean, communicating with staff has been the most important because they are scared. They're scared, am I going to lose a job? I mean, I can't give enough kudos to our IT team. We only had one person working off-site. We have 120 employees and three offices. We had one person who moved to Florida we didn't want to use, and we set her up off-site. But she's not a collector. She works on motor vehicle accounts. And she works it along with somebody in office here. So the phone calls are actually getting made in office. So we didn't have anything close to the ability to have people just suddenly leave and work off-site. And in a matter of a week and a half, our IT team, one of our owners is also the chief operating officer. When we all discussed it, but they did the footwork. They did all the work to make sure that all these tools we've been using over the years, because we've talked about off-site employees, because you know, you run out of space. And it's either get new space or a larger space or enlarge on your space if you want to have more staff or figure out how to get staff to work off-site. So we've talked about it forever. But what worked out really well was over the years, the things that we put in place that we could use for off-site, now we are using for off-site. For instance, we use the dialer TCN, but we only use it for dialer campaigns. That was it. Now we have all of our remote people working through TCN. The good thing about that is I can see everything they're doing. Normally, you know, we could see that when they were on the dialer campaign, so we had an issue with our phone system that it wasn't letting incoming calls that people were making to the regular line cascade out to collectors. So we only used it for campaigns, and that was it. And because we were all the TCPA stuff we're not going to talk about now, we didn't really use it as much as we could have. But the idea was that now that we're using it for them off-site, the monitoring has become much, much easier. We were afraid that there wasn't going to be enough bandwidth, that there wasn't going to be, it was going to slow everybody down, and we're not having that issue. And we did the same thing you did. We have to have some key people, and we even have some collectors that are still in the offices. And the reason why was when we sent out our questionnaire, because we asked right away, okay, who has high-speed internet connection? Who has laptops? Because we have a bunch of training laptops that we assigned to people that didn't, but there was only so many of them to do right away. Who has daycare issues. Who has anybody that has high risk, like you live with an elderly person or you have asthma or diabetes or anything that would put you at a higher risk with the disease? And then we also asked who would rather work from the office. we wound up with only 10 people in our collection department that wanted to work from the offices. So we arranged for that. And then inside the office, we even put tape on the floor to show where 6-foot lengths were. We have somebody that's assigned to go around 3 times a day and wipe everything down from toilet bowl handles to doorknob handles to the refrigerator handle, everything you could possibly think of. We made rules that no, only one person in the break room at a time. I mean, even the car parking, they have to park their car 6 foot distance from each other, so they're not even near each other when they get out of the car or leave at night. No breaks at the same time. I mean, we tried to make it where the in-office people were as safe as possible, but the majority, 90% of our staff is now remote. This has been a week now. We went live on Monday, and I'm shocked at how well it's working. I mean, we're learning so much from this. It's working so well. Where we're finding it more difficult is we have on-staff attorneys because we file legal action, and we can't. The courts are basically closed now, and that's about 50% of our income. So we are worried about income, because if I'm not filing legal action, I'm not filing garnishments and things like that, that money's going to stop coming in pretty quickly. And in Kansas, they said the courts are closed, some of them for 60 days. So that is going to, we're going to take a hit with that. Plus, we gave a huge instruction list to our collectors about softer collections, not just giving them instruction on what to do, but why they're doing it. So they're extending and deferring payment plans. They're not pushing anybody to set anything that's high. They're if anybody even mentions that they're out of work right now or they're home, we're being extremely helpful. We contacted some of our clients and were able to get a whole bunch of discounts. And so on those clients, we're able to offer these big discounts, and they gave us really late payoff dates. So it's not like you have to pay it in 2 weeks or in a month. We were able to convince them to give us later dates. We were able to communicate that with those people to try to keep generating some cash. And so far, we're doing pretty good. We're going to take the hit on legal no matter what, but we're doing good. But I got to give the biggest kudos to our staff. You said it, Courtney, that when your staff, you have them set up for a positive attitude, when you have that culture. I knew our culture was good, but I didn't realize how humbled I would be by the comments that our staff made. We had people that said, you know, last week I was crying because I wasn't even sure I'd have a job. Now I can't stop crying because I'm so happy that you guys care about us and we're guaranteed to keep our paycheck and have a job. So I got a feeling that out of all this, we're going to have a ton of really loyal employees, even more than before, coming back to our office. And we probably are going to make some of this permanent, where lots of people will still remain being remote collectors. So I'm pretty excited.
I don't know if I have much more to share than what these two have already shared. So I'm just going to say I agree with Irene in regards to the loyalty of these employees. Like, it's a scary time, and you know, we have government contracts at CBE. So when, like, you just don't know where that's going to go. So when you, if you have to lay off a bunch of employees, but then in other areas, our clients are like, please, you're the only agency that's actually able to do collections for us, because our other agencies are unable to do remote. Then we're able to transfer some of those employees to work in other areas. So we also found that we're able to save employees by being agile and cross-training them and giving them jobs in different areas. And I think that's the benefit of being a larger company at this time.
I agree. I know smaller companies are having a hard time, but if they look at things a little bit differently, I think they still could make it through this. I mean, I think the smaller companies might have a lot more layoffs, but at the same time, if they're using this time to make staff that can't be doing certain things learn, cross-train about other things, search policies and procedures for inefficiencies to change them, do research on other types of debt to diversify. I mean, there's so many different things that you could have people do, even if you do have to furlough or reduce their hours instead of losing your staff. Mm-hmm. Plus, the stimulus program that's coming out now, hopefully when everything gets signed, if it's the way it is right now, they're going to get a lot of help. I mean, small businesses under 500 employees, we're going to be able to apply for a lot of help. And depending on the size and the amount and what it's costing you, some of that loan that you'll be taking out at a very low interest rate, I think it tops 4%, you can get forgiven too. So, and it's not just to make your payroll, it's also to do things like pay your utility bills and your rent and things like that. So even as far as paying your employee taxes, there'll be you know, different types of help with 50% of the Social Security tax that you pay doesn't have be paid until either the end of 2021 or the end of 2022, depending on what time of the year you would normally pay it. But I mean, yes, there's help out there. So So a lot of agencies, if they need to be looking into that to make sure. And they even had, where they're not going to penalize companies that had already had to lay off people. A friend of mine in California had to do that. She had a staff of 30 people. And when the California mandate came down that, you know, that she basically couldn't set them up from home, didn't have, you know, the prerequisites she needed to do that, couldn't do it fast enough. And she had to send 30 employees home, made her pretty sick. But the thing is, they were saying that if you did lay people off and you bring them back, you're not going to be penalized for laying them off now that they know what the stimulus program is. So there's a lot to learn with that. And we really need to look into it for everybody.
Yes, I think also, Irene, it's important to be asking questions. You know, if a business is not sure, reach out. Reach out to one of the network contacts that you have. It's wonderful to have a sounding board. And I think in our office, we've done a really great, as far as with the tools that we use, of having a space to safely talk, you know, to put it out there where what we're facing. And sometimes it's the glass half full, but sometimes it's the glass half empty. And we're talking about the reality of what we could face. And so running from it and not having those conversations can really possibly put someone in a tough situation. So if a business is needing advice or not sure what resources that Irene was just mentioning, make sure that they're reaching out and talking about what they can get into and what options that they have.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the beautiful thing about our industry right now, is that we have been walking hand in hand on a lot of these issues previously, like the compliance issues and the regulations and laws that are coming down. But we're all in the same situation. It's not like we didn't perform and that got us into this position. It's one thing that's got us all walking hand in hand, and we get to talk to each other to find solutions and brainstorm and look at best practices. And I think we were a strong industry before, but I think this is going to make us even stronger going forward.
And we're awesome. Who doesn't want to talk to us? I mean, come on.
So true. Well,
you know us. We're awesome. But something that Courtney said before, to reiterate, I just want to give a little hint. I do think it is so important to communicate with your staff, but just be careful. Don't communicate your fears to the staff. Be telling them. Yeah, if you communicate your fears to your staff, all you're going to do is instill panic in them. And we make terrible decisions when we panic. So as a leader in your company, yes, be honest with them. Let them know, like we told our staff, you know, we are going to lose 50% of our income for a while because we're not going to be filing legal action or garnishments or anything. But don't worry, it's going to wean off because we don't have to cancel the garnishments we have. They'll keep running. It's just going to be in a couple of months. By then, we'll have more things figured out. We'll have you set up from home. We'll have everything working a little bit more smoothly. We'll be able to cut corners on other things, but nobody has to worry about your pay being reduced, your hours being cut, as long as you're working. We did want to make sure that people understand this isn't a free ride. As long as you're working and you're contributing and you're doing your part, there is absolutely no reason for your hours to be cut. We'll figure everything else out before we do that. And you can almost see, like, hear the sighs, you know, like everybody just felt so much better, like safe. You know, now I don't have to worry about my job. But at the same time, we didn't lie to them. We told them this thing's going to be tough, you know, and this might last 6 months. It might last a year. And we told them, don't believe anything you say that you'll be back to work by Easter, because you won't be. We know that this is going to last a lot longer than that. You know, if anybody looks online, they see how exponential growth is, exponential spreading of the virus. All we're doing is flattening the curve. We're not getting rid of it right now. And there's not even a chance of any type of vaccine for what they say a year to 18 months, and then they have to test it, and then they have to produce it, and then they have to distribute it. This isn't going to be something that happens overnight. But the new normal that comes out of it, I think, is going to make all of us a stronger company if we allow it to, if we don't panic as leaders. I have staff right now, our legal staff, our administrative staff, our client service staff, our clerical staff, and our IT staff, because our collection staff is still making phone calls. But I have staff right now that is learning and looking through all of our policies and procedures. They're going through so much stuff right now to better us. And I think that, you know, I'm already, half the emails I'm getting is, hey, Irene, what do you think of this that I found? Hey, Irene, what do you think of that we found? You know, we found a redundancy here. How can we fix it? We're going to come out of this stronger because of that. They feel useful, like they're working and getting their jobs, earning their pay. And we're getting benefits we never had before. Remember in 2008 when things were pretty crappy for everybody and, you know, we had a nice big recession, everybody was losing money. We started something we called RGA ideas. I know it doesn't make sense, but it's revenue generating activity. we asked all of our staff, find things of where we can produce a better product, where we could, you know, eliminate these redundancies and cut some costs. You're the ones on the floor. You know what's good and what's bad. We were shocked at all of the great ideas that came out of our employees. Well, this process, you know, actually takes longer. Why don't we try to do something like this? We streamlined so much stuff that at the end of that year, we made more money than the year before, which was shocking. And since then, we've only gone up because now as funds got better and better, we had all these better things in place. We have now where we give rewards and we give prizes. That was 2008. This is 2020. We're still doing RGA ideas where people get bonuses and things like that. And we're constantly improving. We never thought of doing that before that one crisis. So, you know, find new ways to make this crisis benefit you in the long run, even though right now it's tough.
I mean, I think every company is in the same boat where everybody's doing, especially support departments and leadership is doing more than one job. So, and we're really just always focused on like the urgent and important stuff. We really don't have time to focus on the important stuff, but if it's not urgent, then it doesn't get put on our plate. I don't know how long this is going to go on. Gosh, I hope it isn't a year, but if it is, this probably isn't an opportunity for a year. But if you have all these things on your plate that you haven't been able to get to, it's a good time for you to go, okay, how important is it? And I should work on it now because I have the time. Or I mean, maybe now I stop making my stop doing list. Like, these are the things that I haven't had time to do. They're not important. So I'm just going to take them off my list. But we get to really focus on planning and preparing, and there's never really a time where we can do that. And that really is what makes organizations successful. We have a time to be strategic and to take advantage of that, to look at the ROI on strategic time is pretty big. And I hope companies are looking at that going, I know we're paying our employees to not do the job that they were doing, and it's probably not going to bring us a lot of money up front, but the long-term investment that you're going to get out of this is going to be twofold.
Yep, I totally agree with you, Kelly. Totally agree.
Yes, agreed. Good use of our time that we've been provided based on what perspectives are. It really comes to like, what's your perspective? And I think listening to Irene talk about, and Kelly too, with cross-training, you know, these individuals have skills, and there may be other positions and other reviews and other tasks that they can be utilized during this time frame. Our people are our resources.
Okay, we've got a bunch of questions that have come in, so let's get to those for a minute and remind everybody, if you have a question for Courtney, Irene, Kelly, please type it into the Q&A, type it into the chat, and we'll get it answered before we wrap up today. The first question, I think, Irene, this goes back to some of the things you were talking about during your opening remarks. How are you tracking hours? And let's start with, how are you ensuring compliance?
Well, here's just a few things I could talk about with that. The way we're having people work remote is they're using a VPN to remote right into their actual computer in the office. So they have the ability to use everything that's on their computer as if they were sitting right there. So one of the things is their time clock. So we have their time clock where they clock in right now on the computer to begin with. So we still have that time clock going. The software we use, the collector system that is now owned by Ontario, Old Cubs, also has reports that we pull. So all the reports that we could pull to see what they're in, what they're doing, how many minutes they're in calls, how many action codes they use, what action code they use, how many accounts they saw. All those reports we've always used, we're still using. And like I said, using TCN, now I have a lot of my leads that used to be doing a lot of shadowing and pulling these reports and listening to calls. They're able to remote in and actually listen to live calls, not just the recorded calls, but they're also on the dashboard from TCN. They could see who's on the phone, who's about to dial, who's on an incoming call, who's on an outbound call. It's color-coded, all the different collection managers that are logged in. It shows you how many there are, if they're not. I mean, it's green when they're on the phone. Even I have the dashboard up, and what I've been doing is, and if I don't see enough green, I've been emailing the remote group and saying, hey, guys, give me Irene some green, and suddenly you see more green come up. So they know they're constantly being monitored and watched because we are constantly monitoring and watching them. I have people off-site doing this also, so it's not just people that are in the office. But it's amazing that, like I said before, I'm actually able to monitor their phone activity better when they've been on. We never used it before because we never used soft phones. But We didn't use it for everybody to log in also because of those incoming calls on some of the lines, but our IT department now has figured out how to fix that. It wasn't a big priority then, and now they fixed it. So chances are going forward, we're going to be able to monitor people even better than we did before. We do have call recording. One of the bad things about the CCN, though, it doesn't allow us to do our call recording evaluation like it does on our regular call recording program. So we had to do more, add a little more manual to that, where we took the questions, put a few more questions in there. One of the questions we added is, are they following the COVID-19 procedure of ethical behavior? Because like I said, we gave staff so much more to do right now. But now they, when they're reviewing those calls, instead of it being an electronic way for them to evaluate the call, now they're doing it more manually on an Excel spreadsheet. But like this, they could still share it with the employee and let them know what they found. But we haven't had a problem with that. As far as the people that are in the office, they're still being monitored. They're just not being shadowed side by side, but they're still being monitored the exact same way they were before. As far as compliance, our IT team has put so much together. But one of the things we had them do when they went off site, because we're not going to go to everybody's house and check out what where they're working, is because we gave a lot of people their laptop, a laptop. If they had one of their own, they are using their own. We gave them their second screen, their keyboard, and their mouse to take home with them. We made them fill out all these privacy agreements that were so detailed as far as not only how they're handling the equipment, what they're going to be doing at home, that they promise they have a private space, that there'll be no interruptions by other people, this and that. But then we had them go home and take a picture. They had to take a picture of their setup and the room that it's in, and email me back with that picture and a statement of saying what part of the house it's in, how many other people are ever in that room during certain times of day. And if they, like one of them had it set up in their kitchen, I had to send her back saying, no, that's not sufficient. You can't have it in your kitchen. That's probably the most active room in a house. So she moved it into her bedroom. She went and she got herself a little table and she moved it all in, sent me a new picture, promised me there'd be nobody there. But what we're doing to make sure they're keeping that is the people that are listening to their calls are now also listening for other background noises. They're listening for children, for dogs barking, for television sounds, things like that, so we know that the phone calls still sound professional and that they're following the rules. And then we're letting them know that this isn't good. You have to move your computer and send me a new picture of where it is. If anybody can't do that, then we will most likely, so far everybody was able to, but we'll most likely tell them that they have to come in the office to work. They can't work remotely. So I don't know if that answered the question, if you think that's good, but that's how we've been doing it. A lot of the same stuff, and we found some new stuff to do. How about you,
same thing with us.
No, Kelly, go ahead. Either one.
So we did the same thing. We packed up their desks, basically. We deep cleaned the entire office and then packed up their desks and either shipped it to them or sent it home with them. But the one thing you can do is really look at what your KPIs are and your measurements and like how do you measure productivity on your collection floor and then monitor that. Because, like, you know, if your collectors are up getting water or going to the bathroom too much, or their you know update times are too long, or they're sitting there chatting with their neighbor, so before you send them on their way, be very clear on the expectations of what a work from home looks like in regards to measurements and goals and like what are the KPIs, the key performance indicators that show that you're being productive while you're not here but you're working from home, and then get a commitment from them that they understand those expectations and that they're willing to meet those expectations, but also telling them how to do it, right? Because you know, some of these people, their kids are at home now. So that's the beautiful thing about this is that they don't have to worry about daycare because their kids are at home. But so how do we manage that? And how do we help them understand when they're on the phone, how do they talk through if a kid comes walking in the room and says their name, or if there's dogs in the background, or here, and I'm in Iowa, so every day a caravan of teachers come driving by my house, and because there's a bunch of kids in my neighborhood honking and waving at all the kids, and it's really loud no matter what room you're in. So like giving them the tools on how to talk through that when they're on the phone with a consumer, because the thing is the consumer is going through this now too, so it also makes us very human. Like, I'm working from home, sorry, that's my kid, or that's my child, or, I mean, just kind of having those conversations of what's going on. I'm sorry, that's my dog. It also creates almost a rapport situation. Like, we're both in it together. We're both in the same situation. So instead of trying to hide it, like, embrace it. Now, the TV in the background, that's a different story. But if life is going on behind the scenes and consumers can hear that, then use it to your advantage.
Yeah, I think that makes a really good point pertaining to that we are human, and the people that we're speaking with, that they're kind of dealing with similar situations too. And so with that, in our office, how we're dealing with the compliance is we're still checking up. We're still doing side-by-sides, not physical side-by-sides, but just like a leader would walk around and walk the floor, manage from the floor. They're doing the same thing. They're spending their days going team member to team member and still having those conversations, still spending time answering questions, doing screen sharing. And so in our remote environment, what we tried to tell our team members was, in your morning routine, keep it the same. You may have an extra 15, 20 minutes because you don't have to drive anywhere, but still prepare yourself for, like, you're going to work. Don't get up a couple minutes before your shift starts and then log on. Make sure that you are ready. And the phrase that we've been using is, if I would not blank in the office, then I will not blank working from home. So that deals with having the TV on, as Kelly mentioned, pertaining to business practices as we're handling our phone calls. So we're really trying to work with our people that for a little bit, this may be what the norm is. And so we're still trying to coach, still having standing huddles, not necessarily standing, but they're still at the same time, and the day-to-day functions are still moving forward. And so we're still having the same checks. We're actually, if anything, having more time for our leaders to really spend time with our team members, keeping their morale up.
I agree. My leaders are spending a lot more time with their team members now than they were when they were face-to-face in the office. I mean, it's amazing how much more. And I agree when you have to make it a life. The bigger thing we were looking for is a constant dog barking in the background, a child screaming and yelling, and then trying to get through it on the phone instead of handling it differently. But I agree that, yeah, it's a great way to be able to make that person on the phone feel your pain too. Like, hey, you know, I'm affected by COVID-19 too. I'm working from home and we're doing the best we can. But we had like one employee, for instance, who has a very young child, and she was saying how it's very difficult because she's got to get up, she's got to breastfeed, she's got to put him down for bed and for naps and stuff. And we told her, we'll work with you as long as you're telling your supervisor, hey, I got to go put so-and-so down for a nap. I'm going to be in, and you have to take more breaks. That's fine. We do expect you to work the hours, but, you know, if you don't, you're not going to get paid for it. But we do expect you to try to work your full week. And she has been really great with that. A couple of our staff that had a lot of kids at home, small kids at home, they've decided to continue to use parents and friends for daycare. So whether they're coming to their house and helping them or the kids are going to like mom's house, a lot of them that know that it's just going to be way too loud. The other ones are ones that they said, this is not going to work from home. I have to be here. And those are the ones we did give the option to be able to have that skeleton crew in the office that's following the social distancing. So it is so far working out well. Now, if we get an order to close our doors and everybody works from home, well, then we don't have a choice. We had quite a few people, you know, of those 10, that don't have internet connection. So it's difficult to try to figure out how to get them to work from home if they don't have the means to do it, and we don't have the means to pay for them to do it. So that's something we haven't faced yet because everybody worked out really well, but it might be something in the future. And yes, we have froze any type of hiring. We're not doing any hiring right now, obviously. And we haven't yet frozen any type of raise, but none have come up so far. They will be in the next couple of months. And we most likely will. We're not so much freezing them where that won't happen, but deferring them where they will happen eventually. And what we talked about doing was whatever raise we would have given them, once we're back on our feet again, to actually give them a late raise bonus. Basically, what they would have gotten for that raise, if they would have made $100 a month more, for instance, and they are don't get their raise for 6 months, they would get a $600 bonus at that time. So they're not actually losing the money, they're deferring it. But as far as paying out right now, we're trying to really be careful with our payroll.
That was, we've got a couple of questions that have come in at sort of asking payroll, wondering if you've changed any of your hurdles or bonus structures, or are you freezing performance reviews and pay increases? So thank you for that, Irene. Courtney Kelly, is there anything you want to add sort of with, you know, as we spend a few minutes talking about compensation?
I'm just going to say, I don't think now's the time to freeze performance reviews. I think performance reviews have to happen monthly. It's not part of the raise process. And more now than ever, they need to know how much they're valued and how good they're doing and getting the feedback that they need. These are new times. They're working from home, and we need to spend more time helping them understand how to do that, because it's not easy to work remote, and you can be way more productive. And if they're not more productive, then there's absolutely something going on. So, like, we have new, there needs to be new expectations, and we don't even know what those are yet, right? Because this is, for us, it's the first time we've ever had people, especially collectors, working remote. So
it's
constant communication on, okay, your productivity shouldn't be what it is in the office. It should be more than what it was in the office. You should be on the phone more. And, like, I think we should be more flexible with their hours. I think Irene said it herself. She said if you have things going on with your kids, then we just want you to work the 8 hours, because obviously we don't want to pay them, you know, overtime during this time. But I think we need to be flexible with the core hours and say, you know, here's our expectations in regards to productivity and goals, and how you need to manage that based on what's going on in your home. Here's the 8 hours we need. You can mix it up. You know, 4 hours in the morning and then do 4 hours in the afternoon,
right?
Or in the evening. However you get that done is up to you, but these are our expectations, and this is, we need to be open talking about that. So I think performance reviews need to continue more now than ever.
Yeah,
I couldn't agree with you more.
Agreed. I think that letting people know where they're at, when you cannot face-to-face or even give someone a high five, they don't know where they are, where they're standing. They're not sure. You know, they can't get that reassurance that they get from their manager, of the manager walking by, or getting to celebrate with the payments that they have taken for that particular day. And so making sure that they are being motivated, that they are being recognized, and over communicate. I cannot stress it enough at this time that these people, the body language cues they would get from a leader, they can't get that now. And so making sure that we're spending time letting them know that they are appreciated, that their work is being valued. And then there's that thin line with leading remote employees, of understanding that they do have something going on. And so if, for example, you go to reach out to them and they're not there, ask questions first. Don't just make assumptions that they're not working or they're not being productive. Irene spoke about earlier about KPIs, making sure they're still hitting metrics. You know, in this time, they're juggling a new situation, and so being a little understanding of that, giving them a little bit of asking them rather than making the assumption of why they were not at their desk. So I think those are some really great points. Thank you, Kelly and Irene, for sharing.
Oh, you too, Courtney. And I couldn't agree more with, we don't always couple our performance reviews with pay increases. So for us, we always give performance reviews, whether there's a pay increase involved in it or not. And we don't plan on stopping that at all. As a matter of fact, we send messages out to all of our leaders who create those reviews that we're expecting them not to have any late ones, because you know how sometimes things get late. So please make sure they're on time, because they need it now more than ever. If there is a raise that might have went along with that, that's what we're freezing. That's where I shouldn't say freezing. We're deferring until later on, and we'll let them know, so they know that yes, you would have gotten a raise, and when all this is over, you'll still get it, and you'll get any back pay you would have gotten once we could afford to do it. So they know that they didn't just work for nothing and have to wait a whole other year for it.
Correct.
So I agree with the girls. Good job. I would like to share
a couple of. Sorry, go ahead. Yep, go ahead.
Sorry. I would like to share something that I did, because we really believe that we have to keep it fun, keep it light. And I mean, these people are going to be home bored to death after a while. I mean, most of the time, like right away, I'm already hearing, I miss my RC peeps. you know, like they just miss having their friends around them. And even the ones that are in the office are saying, oh, it's so quiet in here. I miss my friends. And so that's going to happen. And the longer this goes on, the more they're going to miss them, the more they're going to get into that funk of not wanting to, you know, really get up in the morning and do that because they're bored. They're not having that human interaction that we all need. So we decided we're going to continue to play games. But normally games and contests are to motivate more activity on the floor and things like that. And we've decided that a lot of the games we're going to play are just going to be solely for fun. We'll still do other games also. But for instance, my assistant, I just love her. She sent out a 10-question survey to everybody about personal things in their life that aren't too personal, like what's your favorite color, what's your dog's name, what's your favorite movie, that kind of stuff. And we're going to do a trivia game where she's going to send out 2 questions to the group, and they have to try to guess who she's talking about. If nobody guesses, she'll send a third one. She'll send a third clue until somebody guesses. Whoever guesses will get either a $5 bonus, $10 bonus, or an additional 10-minute break or whatever. It'll be something fun like that. But nothing to do with compliance, nothing to do with people, you know, how much money you're bringing in, because we can't even consider that now. But more just to do with fun, to keep people doing fun things and to learn more about each other and continue that relationship.
Excellent. Thank you. I want to spend a few minutes talking about sort of sick leave and family leave. If you're watching, you'll see I've got a whole webinar coming on Tuesday that's going to address a lot of this, but we have had a couple questions that have come in. So I wanted to maybe get some perspective from each of you about sort of how you're handling sick leave, family leave with respect to employees these days. And, you know, going back to sort of looking at that Family First Act, if anyone has any information on how to sort of participate in that or get more information on that, feel free to share. Irene, since you're up on my screen, maybe you can go first.
Okay, well, we're not really utilizing anything different right now. We are being more flexible with hours and working less hours, but as far as the days they use, their sick days and stuff, right now, because they're working from home, there should be less sick days needed. But if someone, like we did, we had someone call in and said that they went to a doctor and they have strep throat, and so they're not going to be working today or tomorrow. Right now, we're using the same thing that if they're using their, well, we are actually, I guess, it's a little bit different. We're giving them a choice. They can either use their sick leave if they want to get paid for it, or they could take it as unpaid, and then we will not penalize them as any type of unexcused absence. So that's a little bit different, but we know that eventually we're going to have to be going into the new provisions of with the Family First Act, because I know that part of it is supposed to be, we're supposed to give them additional sick days and pay for that. And but especially if it comes, but I'm not, that's why we're not positive, especially if it has to do with COVID-19, then we have to give them the additional sick days. I'm just not positive if that is when it doesn't have to do with them being sick with COVID-19. So for now, we haven't had to really address it much. Our HR department is making sure they check into it so we're ready if the time comes. Thank God we haven't had anybody in our company that has been confirmed with the virus yet, and let's hope we don't. But to be honest, the chances are it eventually probably will happen, and we'll face that then. But yeah, right now we really haven't done any of the Family First Act rules.
Yeah,
you can go, Kelly. Sorry.
Go. So I think we haven't had to deal with that much sick leave either. I mean, if someone calls in sick, we ask them a list of questions and really determine whether or not they can come back, because we still have people working in the office. So we're having conversations if they call in. Do you have a fever? How have you gone to the doctor? What is the doctor saying? How high is your fever? And then just saying, you know, and just educating them, you cannot come back unless these 3 things are covered and all that. But here's the thing, people want to work. They feel so blessed to have a job right now that people are not, they don't want to use their sick time because they're so scared of the unknown too. So they're not going to use their sick time when they might have to use it in the future, because this is such a, again, an unknown time that they don't want to use it all today if they don't need to, especially if they're working from home. But we're not going to let them come in if they're sick. So which is a change, right? When we tell people, you know, muster through, you know, buck up, get to work. You just have a little cough. Now it's like, oh, you have a cough. You need to stay home. So again, it's us managing that changing times too. Is now they don't want to miss work. They want to come in because they're scared of losing their job. They want to be the most value employee. So, and we're having to send people home. So I think that's where our difference is. We haven't had any cases either, thank goodness. But we just want to make sure that those people who are still coming into our office every day are protecting the people, even if we're doing social distancing to the extreme. We still want to make sure that things that they touch and are around don't impact the people around them.
Well, right now, so many states that have all different rules. I mean, every day we're hearing another is issuing a stay-at-home mandate. We have states that are issuing different types of things they want for all of their staff. And then you have all the federal stuff that's going on and not knowing, you know, I mean, following the federal stuff is one thing, but you really have to know what's going on in your state, which could be any moment they can make a change. So not being prepared to either know what to do with your on-site people, to know how you're going to be handling time off, how you're going to be handling all that. You're setting yourself up for failure if you're not looking at those things right now, because you may be in a state that hasn't mandated anything yet, but it's going to happen. So be prepared for it. And you know what? If it doesn't happen, you're learning from all that about how to handle different situations.
Correct. I think also, as I mentioned previously, we really are communicating. You know, like we're building little teams to make sure that we have a proper understanding of what the act is. And so in our office, luckily we do not have any cases in our state. We're on a shelter in currently. And so with this, it's a matter of having people who can help answer these questions for you. I'm looking through as far as people's questions. They are kind of surrounding how are we handling leave? How are you handling for the act? And it really is about building a network and also within your office building a team that you guys can talk through what they are, because it is hard to follow. It does feel like day to day something's changing. And so we need to be on top of that chain. And we're all wearing multiple hats now. And so making sure that we are working with our leaders, so to make sure that we're all on the same page. Then also reaching out when we do have questions.
I noticed there were some questions about the coronavirus legislation, and I assume that they talk about the CARES Act. And it's not right now; it's on the House floor. It is not yet final. I know.
I don't mean to interrupt. It did pass in the last 20 minutes or so.
Oh,
I did get an alert about that. No,
it is now.
I don't know that part. I don't know if anything changed from the House version. I do know the House has passed it, so I'm assuming it's, you know, what they passed was the same version as the Senate.
Okay, so now it has to go on. Basically, it's not official until the president signs it into law, but it looks like that should be the case. If it passed the same way, the greatest thing about it is ACA was able to get all the language about the 120 days that they were talking about not allowing collections after this is over for 120 days, which would basically 4 months would kill whatever agency wasn't already killed from all this stuff. I mean, for us not to be able to collect on consumers. And I think they realized that. They did a really good push for that. I was very happy to see that that's out of the bill. As a matter of fact, collection agencies aren't even mentioned in the bill. There's some debt that's mentioned in it. For instance, student loan debt, federal debt, like debt owed to governments, even some medical debt owed to the governments and things like that. But it doesn't actually specify collection activity and collection agencies as a whole. It just goes over those couple of federal type of debt and how they have to be stopped. You can't collect on those type of debt. So I thought that was really good to see that change for us. It's going to help us quite a bit. But other things that I thought were really interesting, I forget the name of the organization, excuse me for not knowing it, but I think it's on the ACA website that they put the statement there. But there's a very large federal agency that made a statement to the communities saying that consumers should be contacting and communicating with collection agencies at this time, and that it's very important for them to have those conversations with collection agencies. And then it stated how collection agencies, it's very important for us to be more flexible and understanding of people in the situation, which I'm pretty sure everybody, I don't know of any collections agency I spoke to that hasn't gone to a much softer collections during this pandemic. But it was so great to see a federal type of regulatory agency come out with these comments to the public about debt collection. I mean, it was refreshing to see something like that. So I thought that was really good for us. Those two things were great. Oh, such good news. Thank you for telling us that it passed the House. I was kind of worried if it was going to pass the House or not. As is, you know, you never know. There's a lot of people that want to change things and add things back. So,
yeah, like we just said, things are changing constantly. You know, and as you just saw on this panel, you know, we're learning things and we're sharing information and what we know. And Irene, that was awesome about sharing and pertaining to the backing that the collection industry is getting. So I think this is a real testament to things are changing constantly in this time. And who do you have in your circle that you're talking with?
Oh, and I see Mike did put that. Yes, it was Nakara. Thank you. I can't think of the name.
You're
of
welcome.
Definitely. Awesome.
For those who don't know, NACARA is the North American Collection Agency Regulatory Association, which is a group of regulators that regulate the collection industry. And they put out a statement today on their website, which is nacaraweb.org. I'm looking at it now. And one of the things they did mention was the importance of, let me see if I can find it here. Remember, it was number 4. Where'd it go here? Here it is. The importance of reaching out to customers proactively to provide information on available assistance, which would sort of indicate they want, you know, the industry to sort of stay in touch with debtors going forward. So I know they put out a statement, and so that was that hopefully will be good news, although we'll have to wait and see what happens in some states like Massachusetts, which are trying to do their own things, which are run exactly counter to what NACARA is asking. So we'll see what happens. We did get another question in. How are you handling exempt staff who do not want their PTO used due to COVID-19? Will you just pay them the regular salary or dock their pay?
I could tell for us, we'll pay them the regular salary. That would be our take on that. I don't know, with you ladies?
I mean, are they not working? I guess that's what I need to understand. If they're not working, then we would dock their pay. I mean, we have a
policy. They are not working.
Yeah, I mean, we would either you go into the Family Medical Leave Act or you go into furlough, layoff, or use your sick time or your PTO. And but we have at CBE, they have a 3-day personal leave where you can take 3 days off unpaid. If you're not working, and especially the flexibility that most exempt employees have, where they can work from home, makes a huge difference in regards to that.
Right. Well, during the COVID-19, we already talked about these, because people that are salaried, these are our very key, important staff. And so we decided that because they're most likely right now, well, they are right now working more hours than usual through all the monitoring they're doing and all the other stuff they've been trying to do to make us all function, that we decided that they would be treated differently, that they would not be penalized at all if they got sick. We'd pay them their full salary.
Yeah, I think Irene makes a great point of like talking about the person's role, talking about that person's situation. Kelly had some policies that she had pointed to. And so knowing what your company's policy is, what does it actually say? She talked about those three days that you can go unpaid, making sure that team members are aware of what the policies are and then having conversations with them. Really great back and forth.
I'll tell you one challenge I gave my staff. I was trying to find silver linings in all of this for them. And I know, like I said before, they'd be bored to death and, you know, feeling like I can't even go out and go to the show, go to movies, go to anything, go to a restaurant. I told them that my challenge was for them for the next 30 days that any money that they were saving on something. And I said, not just doing the math. So saying, oh, you know, well, I didn't go and get coffee at Starbucks. So I'm saving $10 a day, to actually take that physical money, whether it's cash they use, put it in a jar, or if they would have used a credit card or checking account, to actually take that money like you spent it and put it aside like it's been spent. And in 30 days, we're going to see every person how much money they accumulated and play it like a contest. But they thought that was such a great idea. And I had one person come back and say, well, I'm trying to buy a car. I'm going to use that for down payment. I had another person come back and say, my husband and I talked about it. We're going to take that money and we're going to buy stocks. Well, it's buy lows because everything is low right now. I had another person say, I'm going to take my kids on vacation. I was kind of shocked. One person told me I already saved $75 by not going to Casey's shop and getting breakfast every morning. So it's kind of funny to see how they were excited about something that they're doing anyway. I just said, the big thing is don't just do the math and say what I'm saving. You have to actually save those dollars and let's see what happens. So thought that was pretty fun.
That's a great idea.
Always looking for the silver lining.
Yep.
Yeah.
And one of the things that my, one of my friend's company is doing is they have the employees that are, all of their employees, they have themes. So like it's hat day or it's dog day or it's, family day. And then if you're working from home, then you submit a picture of yourself to a private Facebook page that was created for the company of you with your dog or you with your hat on working that day or if it's camo day. So it's still creating kind of a camaraderie around the team. And, we're still doing this together. Let's have things and kind of have fun with it.
Yep. You got to do some fun things that have nothing to do with money just to keep people engaged. We did the mm-hmm. same thing when we said we have a Facebook work Facebook page, and we told everybody that post a selfie of yourself by your computer. And I had the cutest selfies that were posted, a whole bunch of them on the Facebook page, and you could see the people were appreciating it. But little things like that makes a difference.
It does. We started a actual daily where our marketing team does this live feed that we can take 15 minutes in. We hear about updates. We hear about some fun. They have a fun contest. We have where people can put in answers as we're asking questions. Where they actually have been going around and doing conversations with different leaders. So each day they're going to a different leader and having an actual conversation with that one. Now, mind me, when I say going to, I mean a virtual. But it's great. To give that chance for everybody to still see us, to still know that we are here, we are still leading them, and that we are still, just like them, continuing working.
I will say one of the attorneys that I spoke to, my friends, when I was calling a bunch of people about this, gave me some advice I'd like to share. He said that anytime you're going to do anything that changes, for instance, something that you, the example he gave could be as little as, you have in your client contract that payments will be posted within 48 hours. And now there's a delay because of manpower, because people not coming in and payments aren't posted for 72 hours. He said that, or letters that would go out within 24 hours, not going out until 48 hours, whatever it is. He goes, but if you have something in writing that this is what you're saying you're doing, and now you're not on a regular basis to document every reason why, document it was during the crisis, document. He goes, and then share this information with your clients, letting them know at this time, this is how we're handling your accounts so that it works as an amendment to the contract that you have. He said, because you could wind up getting sued for something like that after all this is over. If the right litigious attorney finds out, you can get sued for not following through on your promises. And I thought that was kind of interesting. So we already sent a letter out to all of our clients, letting them know that this is the instructions we're giving the collectors. This is our format right now, people working from home, what we're doing to keep them compliant and monitoring them. We've had not anything bad back from our clients. Every one of our clients that responded were like, thank you for letting us know. This has been great. Some of them came back with, could you please not make outbound calls on these accounts, stuff like that. So we got a little more information from them. But I thought it was a great piece of advice to make sure that you have physical documentation of every change that you're doing going forward.
Great suggestion.
Yes, absolutely. And on that note, we've hit the top of the hour, so I'm going to wrap things up. Courtney, Irene, Kelly, awesome. The quality and quantity of information, as always, very, more than can be expected. So really appreciate your time. I know it's been a difficult time for everybody, and the fact that you found an hour to share with your colleagues in the industry is just another testament to how great you are, each of you, and how great this industry is. So to the three of you, I offer my sincere thanks. Also want to thank everybody else for participating today. and for asking questions and listening in. If you want a recording of this webinar, it'll be made available on the AccountRecovery.net webinar recordings page, probably by the end of the day, but certainly over the weekend. So feel free to access that. And as a reminder, every webinar I've ever done, the recording's up there for free. So we've done a bunch of them in the last couple of weeks that have been related to coronavirus. So feel free to listen to those. Thank you very much for listening again. I hope everyone stays tuned to AccountsRecovery.net for news and more webinars in the very near future. Hope everyone stays safe. Enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy your weekend. And looking forward to getting through all of this with each of you. Courtney, Irene, Kelly, thank you so much.
Not a problem. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for inviting us.